You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are having a Mormon moment in U.S. history, and it gives us an opportunity to inform or equip Christians always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. Mormons are proselytizing Christians. Why? Because they do not believe that Christianity corresponds to reality. Rather, they believe that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth, the keystone to their religion. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, of course, was birthed in the 19th century by an alleged vision in which celestial personages appeared to Joseph Smith, and they claimed all existing churches were wrong, all their creeds were an abomination, and all their professors were corrupt. And according to these personages, Smith had been chosen to restore, not reform, but restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. And the ideas that were expressed through Mormon belief are radical, to say the least, including the Mormon practice of polygamy, which, of course, found its genesis in the teachings and practices of Joseph Smith, who in 1843 received, allegedly at least, an eternal binding revelation codified in Doctrine and Covenants 132. And according to this, apart from the practice of polygamy, there was no hope whatsoever of attaining godhood. The everlasting commandment of polygamy revealed to Smith was considered so binding that Brigham Young, for example, ominously declared that if any deny the plurality of wives and continue to do that, I promise, he said, that you will be damned. Why do we believe in and practice polygamy, he asked rhetorically. It's because the Lord introduced it to his servants in a revelation given to Joseph Smith. And of course, Joseph Smith had at least 27 plural wives, while Brigham Young had 55 wives and 57 children. And I think we should point out that there has been historically some real intersections between Mormon practice and governmental policy. And we should never forget that. Under threat of expulsion, the Mormon Church actually abolished the earthly practice of polygamy. At least, as I said, in the earthly realm, they transferred it to the celestial kingdom. And by relegating polygamy to the eternal realm, Mormon leaders managed to comply externally and socially with the norms of society while maintaining an eschatological basis for the subjugation of women. The ideal pattern is not polygamy in any realm. The Bible does not support polygamy, although the Bible certainly points out the horrors that follow as a consequence to those who practice polygamy. I've laid all of this out in various places, including the new flip chart. It's 4x6. It's laminated. It's the Mormon Mirage flip chart, and it is a mirage, and today people are trying to obfuscate with respect to Mormonism. They say Mormonism is Christian. I was watching Orrin Hatch earlier on today as he was in a video blog talking about that very thing, talking about the fact that Mormonism is indeed Christian and that they believe in Jesus Christ as Christians believe in Jesus Christ. I say it's obfuscation because if you ask Orrin Hatch or any other Mormon to define what they mean by Jesus Christ, it is decidedly different from what you would get if you read the biblical description of Jesus Christ. The two are completely different Jesuses. And therefore, I appreciate those who are supporting us on this stand. Why? Because this is not some intellectual discussion. This is about people's eternal destinies. It is about their practices in the present and what happens in eternity as well. Got an email from Lori who says, I have always wanted to tell you that I used to be a Mormon, and whenever you discuss questions regarding Mormonism, you're always spot on. It's unbelievable that people fall for this false religion. My family did. Thankfully, my parents and I found the real Jesus and gave our hearts and souls to him several years ago. Thank you for what you do to bring the truth to people and shine the light on the darkness. You are a true blessing. I listen to you every chance I get. You're doing a great thing. Now, we always get positive comments. I mean, there are some very negative comments that we get as well. I got an email from a man just today who said, remove me from your mailing list. Why? Because I'm speaking out against the false teachings of Mormonism. Of course, I'm going to do that not because it's politically correct. As I said, we're having a Mormon moment in which it's not politically correct to talk about religious beliefs. But we're going to keep doing that. Why? Again, because we care about the eternal kingdom far more than we care about the kingdoms of humankind. The Mormon Mirage flip chart is available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can also order via the phone, 888-7000-CRI. By the way, this Pastor Jeffress, who brought this whole issue to public consciousness recently, has been accused of using the word cult in a pejorative sense. While the word cult is not particularly helpful, one thing you have to say about Pastor Jeffress is that he clearly communicates in his talks, in his discussions on Mormonism, the difference between a cult from a sociological perspective and a cult from a theological perspective. So he's not using the media-driven connotation of cult from a sociological perspective. He's talking about Mormonism as a cult from a theological perspective. And that is a group of people that claim to be Christian but compromise, confuse, or outright contradict essential Christian doctrine. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Nick. He's listening in Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Hank.
How are you?
Good. My question is, why do we Christians consider Islam to be a false religion?
Well, because Islam denies essential Christian doctrine. Islam does not believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. They believe that God made someone look like Jesus Christ, and the look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus Christ. Thus, Christ was not crucified, nor was he resurrected. In fact, Muslims consider the Christian belief with respect to Jesus Christ to be the unforgivable sin of S-H-I-R-K, shirk.
Okay, that makes sense.
I've written about this in various places, including, is the Allah of Islam the God of the Bible? Also, we have a CRI publication, which is the best of the Christian Research Journal on Islam, and that is indeed available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you want the best of the Christian Research Institute, journal on Islam, just order this resource, which is available through the ministry right now. Yuli in Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on KUTR. Hi, Yuli.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You just mentioned about polygamy being outlawed basically in Utah when the United States said if you want to become a member of the union, it's got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I want to add to that is that it's really key to understand that Mormon doctrine doesn't say that. Mormon doctrine, you probably already know the answer, what they say. if you want to reiterate that the current prophet, seer, and revelator, what was his name? The third president, Woodrow or Wilford or I can't remember his name, but he said, "Well, we no longer have to practice polygamy because we're not being persecuted in the way that we were." And so now Mormon doctrine says we don't practice polygamy because it was a revelation from God, not having anything to do with us being a member of the Union of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a question?
Okay. That's all I'm saying is that you see the twist in their stuff all the time, and it's sad. I mean, I've lived here for 16 years, and I've witnessed you a number of Mormons, and they always have something else to say when you bring up the actual facts.
Yeah, and you're bringing up a very...
We have Sandra Tanner, so...
Yeah, you're bringing up a very good point, because this is one of the issues with respect to the Mormon faith. They can constantly change what they believe because they can get new revelations, and those new revelations can be binding. So their faith is constantly in a state of flux. While they prevented African Americans from the priesthood, that was overturned by a newer revelation. So again, it is a religion that is continuously in a state of flux, and I think that they should renounce some of the things that they have held in the past and continue to hold, including how Jesus Christ was birthed in the incarnation. This is something that they should repudiate publicly. They don't like people talking about their belief, and therefore I think the president of the Mormon Church should, as the prime revelator, should clearly communicate that they no longer believe that Jesus Christ was sired by a physical union between God the Father and Mary.
Right. What's really strange to me is while the current prophets here in Revelator can make changes to their doctrine or changes to, I wouldn't even say it's changes to their doctrine because, as you just mentioned, DNC Section 132 is still there. And all this information about the blacks not being able to hold the priesthood because of that they're the fallen race and all of this, that's all still in there. It never gets removed.
Well, again, it's overturned by a newer, fresher revelation. But, yeah, it's obviously a problem.
Yeah, it stays right in their doctrine. But they say, oh, well, we don't believe that anymore. We don't go by that. Well, then why are you leaving it in your scripture? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think it's important for them to expunge that from their scripture. That would be a good thing to do.
Yes. Anyway, I thank you for your show, and I really appreciate all this attention to Mormonism, and I think in the coming year, the more we can bring it to light, the better.
Yeah, and ultimately, this is not Mitt Romney bashing or Orrin Hatch bashing. That's not what this is all about. This is about equipping Christians to be always ready to give an answer. The Mormons are proselytizing Christians every single day. And they're saying that what we believe is false, and we need to be ready to take the deviations of Mormonism and use them as an opportunity to share the truth and life and grace and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. It may very well be that the best choice in the presidential election, it could be Mitt Romney. Who knows? That's not the point. The point is what he espouses with respect to a belief system is just dead wrong. When he says that Jesus Christ is going to return to Independence, Missouri, that's nonsense. When he talks about all the Jews being killed, that's nonsense. That's not biblical theology. That's a theology that comes out of someone's mouth that embraces a man-made religion. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He's the one talking about Mormon eschatology, and we ought to be ready, always ready, to communicate why this does not correspond to reality. It was not I that said. As he said, throughout the Bible, Christ appears in Jerusalem, splits the Mount of Olives to stop the war that's coming to kill all the Jews. I don't believe there's a war that's coming to kill all the Jews. He does. Our church believes that, he says. That's something he's affirming, and I'm saying, no, that's false teaching. Then he says, we also believe that over the 1,000 years that follows, the millennium, he will reign from two places, that the law will come forth from one place in Missouri, and the other will be in Jerusalem. Again, false eschatology, false doctrine. We ought to be ready with an answer. The Mormon Mirage flip chart will prepare you to have an answer. We'll be right back with more answers.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
You've just heard Hank Hanegraaff's dramatic reading from the Heart of Christmas audiobook, a 2-CD devotional for the season. Order the audiobook or the beautifully presented The Heart of Christmas gift book by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the Book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The issue of women in Islam has been a hot topic in the press lately. Yet with all of the media coverage, the theological doctrines that demean women in Islam have hardly been addressed. Mary Jo Sharp's article, Did Muhammad Believe in Women's Rights?, sheds light on the profound differences between women in Islam and women in Christianity. Other topics in the Christian Research Journal include Dr. Jonathan Witt's article, Darwin vs. Beauty, Explaining Away the Butterfly, Lewis Marcos's C.S. Lewis on Hell, Evaluating Exactly What Lewis Did and Did Not Believe, a review of Nancy Piercy's Saving Leonardo, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints holds the same basic tenets as historic Orthodox Christianity. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves, from Joseph Smith to current leaders, and distilled them into an important new resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. The Mormon Mirage Flipchart is our thank you for your continued support this month. To donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our phone callers. By the way, the number is always to dial to get your question answered on air. 888-ASK-HANK translates. You may want to write this down to 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines to Tom listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, good evening. How are you doing, Hank?
I am doing well. Good talking to you.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I appreciate your show very much. I listen to you every day while I'm driving semi over the road, and I learn something new every day.
Oh, bless you.
Well, actually, bless you for the work you do.
Thank you.
But I do have a question about in the book of Revelations when it talks about the coming rapture, and then in the future when the angels pour out the wrath of God and it takes away one-third of the population. What happened to the children? Are they part of the one-third population? Or is it the same as when God had the people of Jerusalem put the blood of the Lamb over the top of the doors, you know, if they had any children under 13?
Yeah, Tom, here's the thing, and I've written about this in a number of different places, including a book called The Apocalypse Code, but I do not believe that what is communicated in the book of Revelation has to do with the 21st century. Now, I certainly believe that the book of Revelation deals with the final future, when we see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband. So I believe that the book of Revelation, like all of the Bible, refers to the eternal state. But I don't think it has to do with the tribulation taking place in the 21st century. Now, Christians debate that vigorously. They ultimately don't have to divide over that. The meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation is a secondary issue. But I would point out that all of the Bible was written for us, but not all of the Bible was written to us. And therefore, if you read a passage like Revelation chapter 3, where you have a letter to the church in Philadelphia, a letter ultimately in the words of Jesus Christ himself, where Christ says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." I don't think we can take that letter to the Church of Philadelphia and transfer its meaning to a present-day Holocaust or a present-day tribulation. The text says nothing about the second coming or the rapture, and it is impossible to suppose that Jesus is promising to protect the church in Philadelphia from something that is going to occur 2,000 years later. So I think a lot of people are reading meanings into the book of Revelation that simply are not intended by Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says that the looming apocalypse will soon take place and that the time is near, I think it's contrary to all decency and propriety to contend dogmatically that his words are meant to convey an event in the 21st century. I think it's an unconscionable abuse of language to say that the word soon or near means 2,000 years hence or a far away epoch of time. I think that's reading something into the text that is not intended
in the text. And so that's a way of at least alerting you to the fact that perhaps you're reading a meaning into the passage that's not intended. As far as the basic question that you're asking me with respect to children, remember that God is not trying to find ways or technicalities to keep people out of the kingdom. Those who are not in the eternal kingdom in bliss and fellowship and relationship with the Lord are those who don't want it. And God, therefore, doesn't impose himself on people who do not want an eternal relationship with him. He allows them what they want, which is freedom from his love and grace and goodness. So just as God allows people not to receive him in this life because they don't want it, so he will ratify their choices in the world to come. As I've said many times on the broadcast, Jesus Christ is not a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people. He offers freely his love to all who would reach out in faith to embrace the goodness that he offers to the world. And therefore, we can be absolutely certain that children are going to be judged fairly with God's ultimate love and justice in the greatest size, as will all people from every tongue and from every language, from every people. Those who want a relationship will not be kept from that relationship with the Lord. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we will talk to James in Modesto, California, listening on KCIV. Hi, James.
Yes, sir. Hey, I respect that you have done a lot of homework on, I myself am a Mormon. The thing that, you quote Bruce McConkie a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you obviously have done your research. The one thing I don't know if you've taken into account is the fact that book that he wrote, Mormon Doctrine, even though that's the title of the book itself, it has never been considered doctrine. And the other thing, too, that I guess, you know, I like listening to your program.
Well, he is a Mormon apostle, though, and I think we have to take right. that seriously in fairness to Bruce McConkie, and he's also someone sure. that's highly regarded by Mormons. But his teachings are not in isolation. His teachings have been confirmed by the teachings of those who have gone before him and those who have come after him as well. And I think that if his teachings, particularly with respect to how Jesus Christ came in the incarnation, are not believed by Mormons today, you have a perfect opportunity with your current president, Munson, to make a significant statement and say, we no longer believe that. We have a new revelation that overturns the notion that Jesus Christ was sired by the Father, having a physical relationship with Mary.
Over the years, the church officials have consistently said that our official doctrine comes from the Bible. We definitely believe the Bible to be the Word of God, obviously the Book of Mormon, and we do believe in Latter-day Revelation, not including that Book of Mormon doctrine. So they have constantly said that if it is not canon, if it is not scripture, and Mormon doctrine is not, that is not official doctrine.
Okay, but that's an interesting point in and of itself. What is canon or scripture? If for example, the Mormons held that blacks could not be part of the priesthood, and that was canon up until 1978, and then you have a president and a prophet like Spencer W. Kimball come along and say, you know what, I'm overturning canon with a fresh revelation, and now blacks are allowed as part of the priesthood. Wouldn't you say that that present revelation actually exceeds canon?
Well, let's back up before that even, and I'm very familiar with that 1979, what you're quoting there.
Is it 79 or 78?
78, 79 to late '70s. I know it's right about then. But the thing too, let's back up before that. African Americans, even under the leadership of Joseph Smith himself, actually African Americans came and lived with the saints, and they were never denied the priesthood back then. Now, I understanding that under the leadership of Brigham Young, that was frowned upon, and I think they had. This is my own opinion. There's nothing to back this up, but my own opinion on that is due to the, you know, the segregation and things that were happening. I don't know. That is not. I have nothing to back that part up.
Yeah.
But what is true is that African Americans were never denied the priesthood under Joseph Smith if they came and lived with the saints. Now, the other thing too.
But the point, you know, let's grant that for a second. There's a point that I'm trying to make. That's not the main and the plain thing in terms of the point. The point I'm trying to make is that the current president has the opportunity to make new doctrine, doctrine that supersedes the canon. Is that right? Or am I mistaking that?
We believe that just as God revealed to ancient prophets, we believe that similar revelation can happen, yes, today.
Yeah. And that's the only point I'm making. And I would say that particularly because long before McConkie, you had Mormon apostle Orson Pratt, who was an original member of the Quorum of 12 Apostles, explaining that the fleshly body of Jesus required a mother as well as a father, and therefore the father and mother of Jesus, according to the flesh, must have been associated together in the capacity of husband and wife. Hence, the Virgin Mary must have been, for the time being, the lawful wife of God the Father. Or Brigham Young saying that Mary must have had at least two husbands. The man Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not, that we know of, have more than one wife, but Mary, the wife of Joseph, had another husband, that is, God the Father. If, in fact, he goes on to say the birth of the Savior was as natural as are the births of our children, it was the result of natural action, he partook of flesh and blood, was begotten of the Father, as we were of our fathers, and of course that's repulsive to Christians, if in fact that's not what you believe, and there are many Mormons that tell me that's repulsive to us too, then I think that the Revelator, the current president of the church, ought to say that's a horrifying doctrine. We no longer hold to that. That's my point.
Well, and I go back to what I said, that, you know, that was never official canon. And so they have consistently said the official canon is to be what we consider, you know, scripture, the Bible, Book of Mormon, and actual canonized scripture. One last point, if I can, really quickly.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you hang on? I want to continue the conversation with you for a couple of reasons. One is because you're very well-spoken and reasonable and want to think together about these things. If you'll hang on, we can continue the discussion on the other side of the break. It should just be a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. James is hanging on. We'll continue to talk to him. He is a Mormon and a wonderfully reasonable person. We're having a good discussion in the process. Hopefully everybody can learn together. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. However, statistics show that 70% of us will die without a well-designed will or trust, and needlessly transfer billions of dollars to the federal government that could have otherwise been used to benefit family and/or ministry. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility, as well as other estate planning needs. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the Estate Plan Organizer, a tool that will assist you by developing an estate plan that reflects your values and goals. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this.
angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make Equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Ever find yourself in such a hurry that you come to God in prayer with a list of requests, and before your knees ever touch the ground, you're already thinking about the next thing you need to do? Many Christians struggle to have a meaningful and effective prayer life. We want a relationship with God without investing any time into that relationship. Jesus' model for prayer revolutionized the lives of his disciples, and it can revolutionize yours as well. Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus is not just another book about prayer. It's a journey to discover the secrets to real intimacy with God. The Prayer of Jesus is available in softcover, audio CD, or as an MP3 download from our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The 13th Mormon president and prophet Ezra Taft Benson explained that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the most literal sense. His body in which he performed his mission in the flesh was sired by that same Holy Spirit we worship as God, our eternal Father. Brigham Young, who claimed that he'd never preached a sermon that you couldn't call scripture, held the same view, as did Bruce McConkie, as did Orson Pratt, as did many others who were apostles and prophets in the Mormon Church. But the argument that is being made today is that that still is not canon. And we are saying, well, your prophets and your revelators are treating it as canon. That's their interpretation of Mormon canon. And I'm having that discussion right now with a Mormon caller. His name is James. He's from Modesto, California, listening on KCIV. And James, you wanted to make another point, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to do that.
Oh, sure, yeah. And basically, there's one thing that I guess kind of bugs me, that you claim we believe in a completely different Jesus. And that I would, you know, I would argue, because you may not agree or believe in the modern Latter-day Revelation that we have, and you know, I don't blame it. You're free to believe what you will. But I absolutely believe, and I know that every Mormon would agree that Jesus, the one who died on the cross between two sinners, he himself, Jesus, being perfect and sinless, that there is no way of salvation except through him. Every Mormon would believe in that very same Jesus. So, I don't think it's fair to say that our salvation is basically questioned because we put our absolute hope, faith, and trust in that same Jesus who died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later.
Yeah, let's talk about that for just a second because, you know, we've said many times on the broadcast, James, it's not the word you use, it's the meaning you pour into the word. And the Mormon concept of pre-existence gives you a completely different concept of who Jesus Christ is. We say in Orthodox Christianity, Jesus Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. In other words, he is the creator of all things. In Mormonism, and correct me if I'm wrong here, in Mormonism, you have Father God and one of his heavenly wives, Mother God, procreating or creating spirit children in the pre-existence. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, there is nothing ever written, you know, canonized that says, you know what, to be honest, yes.
No, well, I'm just asking, is that what, let's just say for the argument's sake, this is just between you and me, do you agree with that? I mean, do you believe that Father God and Heavenly Mother created Jesus Christ as a spirit baby in the pre-existence? Or don't use my words, use your own words to explain what I just said.
I don't want to dodge that, but let me say one other thing before I mention that.
Okay.
See, Genesis 1:1, you know, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That word for God there itself is Elohim. And so we do believe that Christ himself, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We believe that Jesus is the Word of God, but we believe that the Word being God himself, that they are separate. That is how we interpret that.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do believe that there is a God above Jesus, but Jesus himself being God's son, just as he claimed to be.
Yes.
And so that is absolutely what we believe. And so we believe also, answering your question, that, yes, there is a just as there is a Father in heaven, we believe there is a Mother in heaven. We try not to speak of it because just out of respect, but yes.
Yeah, so in Mormonism, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, but you can also say that he's your spirit brother and that he was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother who came in and then came in flesh as a result of the Father having a relationship with the Virgin Mary. But even when you go further into what the plan of salvation is, if I can codify it that way, Christians believe that they're going to stand before God dressed in spotless robes of Christ's righteousness. But Mormons say, and again, I'm going to leave this subject to your qualification here, but Mormons contend that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons holding good works in their hands, and that virtually everyone qualifies for some form of heaven. You have three different heavens. You get a telestial, a terrestrial, and a celestial heaven. And if you get to the third level, the celestial kingdom, then you can become a god of your own planet. And that's a far different idea than Christians communicate with respect to the eternal state. So we're simply pointing out those differences.
As far as what you've just described there, we believe, I think all Christians believe, that the resurrection is universal, that all will receive the resurrection, right?
Yes, that's true. But what we mean by that is something that should be communicated. When we say that Jesus taught, "Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all of whom the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." We're pointing out that there are two kinds of people in the world in the view of Jesus Christ: those who will be eternally in relationship with their Lord, and those who will be eternally separated from that relationship with their Lord. But not that there are three different heavens and there are three different levels of the third heaven, the celestial kingdom.
We believe that Jesus, again, him being the one that died for us on the cross, that we are washed clean through his sacrifice, that he is our judge. And now, what you've described is what we believe, again, all being resurrected, but, you know, all being judged according to, you know, Jesus's righteous judgment. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sort of, but the point that I'm trying to make, James, is that according to the Latter-day Saints, virtually everybody qualifies for heaven. You can be a murderer and qualify for heaven. You can be a vile person and make it into the celestial heaven.
Just like the thief on the cross, it's kind of the same principle. He put at the last minute, as they're all being crucified, he put his hope, faith, and trust in Jesus.
Yeah, and again, this is a point of difference, I would say, not a point of agreement, because in Christian theology, you say, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling," which is to say, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Therefore, there's no good works that we can bring in the sense of being justified. We're justified through faith in Jesus Christ alone, so we can't work for our salvation. Of course, we can work from our salvation, but the point that I'm trying to make is that there's not the differences of the heavens, so that you got three different heavens with three different levels of the third heaven. There's nothing like that in Christian theology, and there's nothing like that in the Bible. And this is the big point in my view, James, and that is, what is your authority? You will say, as a Mormon, that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. It's the keystone to your religion. That becomes your authority. That becomes your canon, along with the other books of the Mormon Quad. We will say, no, it is the Bible that is the final court of arbitration, that you test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And the reason we say that is we say that the Bible corresponds to reality. In other words, you can demonstrate through the manuscript evidence, through archaeological evidence, through predictive prophecy, that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Whereas if you apply the same test to the Book of Mormon, it turns out not to correspond to reality. In other words, the Jaredites and the Nephites and the Lamanites are not real people groups. They're part of a fertile imagination, and therefore have no basis in reality.
This is a direct result of the Bible itself, that God covenanted with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who is Israel having 12 sons, and that the Book of Mormon is a continuation of that very same bloodline lineage.
Yeah, but we're saying that there's no archaeological evidence for that, nor is there anthropological evidence. In other words, we're calling into question whether the Jaredites, 2,200 years before Jesus Christ, migrated to Mesoamerica. We're calling into question whether the Nephites and the Lamanites were Semitic and migrated to Mesoamerica. We're saying that anthropology has utterly demolished that notion, as has archaeology in terms of the people, places, and particulars that you find in the Book of Mormon. And therefore, we say the Book of Mormon cannot be a credible authority because it doesn't correspond to reality. And we also say that there's no such thing as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics in which the Book of Mormon was allegedly inscribed by Moroni and Mormon. So we simply look at history and evidence, and we say the Bible corresponds to history and evidence. It's historical, evidential, where the Book of Mormon does not.
Well, I mean, that's your interpretation.
Well, and that's what we have to do. I mean, that's precisely what we have to do. That's precisely what we have to do, and that's right. We have to. I became a Christian, James, as a result of looking at evidence. I looked at the evidence for origins. I looked at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, demonstrating that he is God. I looked at the evidence for the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And as a result of the evidence, I embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now he's more real to me than the very flesh on my bones. But yes, you're right. It's a matter of looking at the evidence. And if I looked at the evidence and the evidence didn't correspond to reality, I wouldn't have embraced it. I'm going to have to leave it at that, James, only because I'm out of time. I just want to tell you what a wonderful conversationalist you are. You know how to conduct a very meaningful dialogue, and I respect you very much for that.
I appreciate it. I like listening to your radio show, but you know, I absolutely believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ, and I think every Mormon would agree with that.
Well, again, I appreciate your comments. I appreciate the fact that you gave me an opportunity to articulate in the conversation what I believe, and hopefully you've had that same dignity afforded to you as well.
All right. Well, take care. I do. Thank you very much.
You got it, James. Thank you so much for your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, The Mormon Mirage. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, that's a 4x6 laminated flip chart, and you can order online at equip.org for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Here's what I'm going to do. We spent a lot of time with just a few callers. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. We'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, here's a number you can dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Again, 888-275-4265. When you dial that number or just 888-ASK-HANK, we'll be taking your calls for the next hour. So call me right now, and I'll stay right here and continue answering questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet or to donate to the ministry, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to help you. To call a resource consultant, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The issue of women in Islam has been a hot topic in the press lately. Yet with all of the media coverage, the theological doctrines that demean women in Islam have hardly been addressed. Mary Jo Sharp's article, Did Muhammad Believe in Women's Rights?, sheds light on the profound differences between women in Islam and women in Christianity. Other topics in the Christian Research Journal include Dr. Jonathan Witt's article, Darwin vs. Beauty, explaining away the butterfly.
Lewis Marcos's C.S. Lewis on Hell, evaluating exactly what Lewis did and did not believe, a review of Nancy Piercy's Saving Leonardo, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.